I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and it's wonderful to be here with you yet again. I am coming to you this week live from Albany, New York. Can you imagine that? Albany, New York, the capital of the Empire State. It is so different up here compared to other parts of the state of New York. I spend a lot of time in New York as I travel around now. And for those of you who have never been here, you think about, you know, gee, New York City is like the center of the world. You know, the capital, Albany, must be really amazing. And it's not a bad city. No, it's not a bad city. It's just, it's different than I always anticipated what Albany would be like, you know, the capital. You got the governor here. But like many cities that are run by liberals, they have their problems, you know, because they don't focus on the right things. You know, they go with ideas of, you know, what would be nice instead of what is real. You know, what is real is what we really need to deal with, to help people, to help them as our government. If it does anything to make lives better, it should get out of the way, regulation-wise, of course, we all know that. It should get out of the way when it comes to your freedoms and your liberty. But on the other hand, there are things that people do need, and government can assist in those kind of things. But when you have these very liberal cities, and everyone I've been to pretty much has the same kind of problems. And Albany is no different, although it is a nice enough city. We went out, we had some nice dinner, and I've enjoyed myself so far. So I just wanted to let you know I'm coming to you from Albany because I know there's a lot of listeners to America Out Loud that are up here in the Albany area. And I'm here in your town and your city enjoying it. So what goes on recently? You know, we have President Trump who's gearing up for his 2020 re-election. And one of the things on Chasing Justice that we try and always focus on is, you know, what's going on now? What's happening at the moment? That's because justice is really a living, breathing thing, because we know justice can be removed from us just like liberty can be removed from us at almost any moment. We've talked about the crossroad. We've talked about the coming potential revolutions. And we see now people are starting to get on board with these ideas. So freedom, liberty, and justice are all combined together. And we see the trip that the president took over to Korea. I think this is, it pointed out a lot of things. We all know the media is horribly biased. It's just absolutely horribly biased. There is no real media anymore. They're supposed to be, you know, the fourth estate is supposed to speak truth to power, and no matter who that truth or power comes to, so that we, the people, can be informed of what's really going on. But they don't really do that. They make their own news. They follow their own narratives now. That's really what they're all about. They want to push a particular agenda, and they steer all their stories that way. They write them. They even make them up. You know, people that say there is no fake news. There is fake news. There's plenty of fake news out there. So the president's trip is a good example. If you will remember, for those of you who like to keep up on this, and I'm a news junkie, so I pay attention to a lot of news, they were screaming and hollering that he was going to go to Korea because the Cohen hearings were going to go on. You know, this lawyer Cohen was going to testify and was going to tell all the dirty secrets about President Trump, his family, you know, how he really did work with the Russians and all of that. And because of that, he was going to try and take that off the news by coming up with a deal with the North Koreans, with Kim Jong-un. No matter what the deal was, he was just going to take it because he wanted to show that, look at me, I made a deal, and try and change the news cycle. And then lo and behold, the man does exactly what he's told us for many, many years as a businessman. You have to be willing to walk away from a bad deal. Which I have to tell you, this has really helped me over the course of my life. There's been deals that I was going to make that I said, hey, I don't know Trump. I don't know who he is. This is before he was the president, long before. But I know he's very successful. And when you listen to someone who's successful, you learn from them. And I remember him saying, you have to be willing to walk away from a deal. If it's not a good deal, walk away from it. And if the other party then really wants to make the deal, then they will adjust. So when you have an intractable opponent, you're sitting across the table from the car dealer. You're trying to buy that new car. Well, we go in there with a deficit. Number one, usually we need a new car. That's why we're there. Number two, there's a model or a car that we really like. Some people go even more granular and I love that color and I want that car. The other truth is that salespeople know this because years ago when I was a young person, I was a salesman and I was tutored by some great salespeople. And the truth is that 8 out of 10 people cannot say no to a salesman. That's why sales, commission sales to this day is still the highest paid profession out there. So the you're sitting across from the car dealer and they know, first of all, they got you there. And they start asking you questions. Oh, do you like the car? Do you want to take the car for a ride? The whole idea of taking the car for a ride right away that you like is to put you in the car so that you feel some possession of the car. And now you like the car. Now you go in, they start talking numbers. Gee, it's a lot different than you thought it was. It's going to cost more money than you thought. The payments are going to be more. But you can't say no to that salesman. And lots of people will sign the paperwork and walk out the door very unsatisfied with the deal they got. Now, this isn't to pick on our car salespeople because this is how sales works, any kind of sales. So the key is that I heard Trump say one time on a TV show or someplace, what he was saying is you have to be willing to walk away from a bad deal and you change the dynamics of the negotiation. So I have to tell you, I've done this several times in my life buying vehicles. I'd be sitting there at the table and I'll go in and I'll say, okay, I really want that pickup truck or I want that car or that SUV, whatever it is. I like that one. Okay, I'll play along with the game. Let's go take a ride. We ride around. Now we start with the numbers. And I say, well, you have the car listed out there for $25,000. I want to pay $23,000. And then they give you the line about, well, you know, it's the quality car. It's, you know, I want to pay $23,000. There's other places I can go to. And the salesperson will inevitably say, well, you know what? If you're willing to buy today, we can maybe make a better deal, and I'm going to go back and talk to my manager, right? Now, that's part of the deal. They go talk to the manager. It makes you feel like that salesperson is not the person completely responsible. They have to go to somebody. They like you. They would give you the deal, but they have to go ask their manager. So I've come up with a technique based on you've got to be willing to walk away from the deal, a la Mr. Trump, is that I would say, I understand. You have to do what you have to do. You have one opportunity. One time you get to go to your manager and come back and tell me he's agreed you can buy the car for $23,000. If you do that, we sign the paperwork, I'm out the door, and you can go sell the car to the next person. You don't have to spend your whole day with me. I want to buy the car, but at this price. Well, it's interesting because you'll see them come back and they'll say, well, you know what? The car's $25,000. We can do $24.50 for you. You know, we can come down another couple of bucks. And you say, you know what? Thank you very much. I've gotten up from the table, taken my checkbook, and started walking out the door. And the salesman said, where are you going? Where are you going? I told you, you could go to your manager one time. I wanted to pay $23,000. You can only take another $50 off the car or whatever. I appreciate your time, but I'm going to go somewhere else. And I go out to my car. And before I get to my car, usually the salesman's out the door, the finance manager's out the door, and they're, oh, sir, come on back. We you know, we can certainly work a little more. We can figure out a different price. Well, if you could have done that, why didn't you do it on the one time I told you had to give me the right price? All right? So I have walked away from deals, and the other side had just as much interest in making the deal, and therefore we were intractable parties. I only wanted to spend $23,000. They wanted me to pay spend $25,000. One of us had to be willing to stop the deal. It was me. I get up and I walked out of the store. And when I did, they pursued me. You know what I bought the car for? $23,000. All right, so I've done that several times on different things. I'm willing to walk away from a deal because the tactic works. So that was a long story, I know. I appreciate you sticking with me on it to make my concept. But here's the president. He goes over to Vietnam to meet with the North Korean dictator, and he wants to have a deal. Well, of course, you know, the North Koreans are not at that table by themselves. They're also there with the Chinese, even though the Chinese delegation is not sitting with them. The Chinese run North Korea for the most part. They keep them in power. They keep them fed. So whatever the Chinese want is really what the North Koreans are going to do. So the president goes there and he sits down and he says, okay, I want denuclearization and we will do lots of things to help North Korea turn it into a a beautiful place where people can, you'll have tourism and your people will eat. It'd be wonderful. And Kim Jong says, I'll denuclearize one place. And Trump says, well, no, we talked about denuclearizing the entire North Korea. And, no, we'll do one and you'll drop all those sanctions so that we can function. And Trump realized this was not a good negotiation. This was not going anywhere positive. So what's the thing to do? He made the decision to follow his own advice, get up from the table, and leave. That does a couple of things. Number one, it tells your opponent that you're very, very serious. Number two, you maintain your own integrity that, hey, I'm not here to just make a deal. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose is to make a good deal. So I thought it was really a great thing that he walked away from the deal because, the reality is they do have nuclear weapons. They are a danger. And if they change their posture and they become more danger, at some point, the reality of this whole thing might be, it might be a hot conflict. It's as simple as that. Now, there's no doubt, I don't think in anyone's mind, including the North Koreans and the Chinese, that if there was a hot conflict with the United States, the North would lose. Unfortunately, lots of other people would lose too in the surrounding free countries of South Korea. The Japanese could certainly lose Guam if they set off a maniacal attack with their weapons as they come under fire. This is the reason to keep talking. So what did the media say when he left, when President Trump left and came back? Did they say, gee, I guess we were wrong. We thought he would make a deal at all costs to keep Cohen off the newspaper, and he didn't. He walked away. So they turned the narrative, not to truth, and do what I just did, explain why someone would possibly do that. They turned it around to, it's because he's a failure. He can't really make deals. He says he's a deal maker. He's not really a deal maker. He can't make deals. So they're not providing any insight or truth, which I'm hoping that later on in our show today, I'm going to do a short segment on real news. We keep hearing about fake news. I'm going to do a segment on real news, what real news would actually sound like if somebody ever did it. So I'm going to do that a little bit later on. And so I wanted to talk about Korea and the justice that's there. The justice there is the president is trying to get a real deal to, you know, protect the rest of the world from a crazy dictator with nuclear weapons and to help the people of North Korea in the long run. Because if they got rid of their weapons and they changed the way they did business, they could be a flourishing country like Vietnam. You know, Vietnam has been a great success story since the tragedy of the war. All right. So now, then we had CPAC, the conservative convention. And we see all these conservative people going there speaking freely of conservative things. It was really interesting. And to see the president go there and make some comments and see some other leaders show up there and have some comments. All right. I would like to say that on our Twitter account, at Pangaro Global, that's the little at symbol, Pangaro Global, is where you can find me. I have come across many, many of the listeners out there, and I have to say I thank you all very, very much for your kind comments and for your appreciation of the show and what we're trying to do here. You know, the show builds, it's evolving, it's going to where it is. You know, I know the guys and girls in the neighborhood, they're very appreciative of all the things that are out there. A lot of the columns I've been writing have been from the heart. I'm trying to focus down and drill down on some ideas that I think need to get out there as best I can. And I'm thrilled to have this vehicle to do it. And I want to thank all of you who've jumped up on the Twitter, who followed me, and who have allowed me to follow you. And we're now conversing, going back and forth. It's really been exciting for me, and it's really great. So you can reach us at Pangaro Global. You can also email me at jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. I love to hear from people, so I like when they send me emails and ideas and thoughts and talk about what we've talked about on the show or what's going on in the world. So that's our little push for that. So our real news segment we're going to do in a little bit be interesting. I try to find things that are interesting way to bring across a couple of points. So in our last part of this segment, I want to talk about, you probably have heard about or have seen recently in New Jersey, where I'm from, down at the Jersey Shore, there was a terrible murder of a young girl last year. She had inherited some money, a small amount of money, There are different reports between $7,000 and $25,000 she inherited. She was 19 years old. And two of her friends, including the guy who took her to the prom, found out that she had this money. And the one guy came up with this idea to get the money away from her. And he actually plotted and then carried out her murder. He went to the apartment. He killed her. Then he had to go to work. So he called his buddy and asked his buddy to come over and help him move the body out of the apartment. And they hid the girl's body in the wood line behind her apartment complex till they could come back later in the day. They put her in her car and they drove her to a bridge between Belmar and Avon. And they dumped her body over the side of the bridge as casually as somebody would throw away an empty soda can. They discarded this poor girl, never to be found. They never found her body at this point. And her poor parents have suffered terribly. Well, I'm happy to report here on Chasing Justice that the killer has been found guilty on all counts in the Monmouth County Superior Court, and he will now face judgment and justice for what he did to that girl. Unfortunately, it does not bring her back. It does not ease the pain of her parents and her friends. And it's ghastly to think about what they did, because one of the reasons we know specifically what he did is that in the course of the investigation, and the Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office is a tremendous group of investigators, they really are, they managed to get a video recording of this killer talking to one of his friends where he describes the murder in great detail. He clearly tells exactly what he did. I know I choked her out. I stuck something in her mouth so she couldn't breathe. Then we took her to the bridge. He lays out the entire crime as though he was telling you what it was like to go to the amusement park and get on a ride. You start to realize that there are people among us that are so dangerous that they pose such a risk, but we may never know it until they attack. Because this kid, nice looking kid, comes from a nice area, nice family, you would never really know. Although, you know, some background is that there are people who will tell you that they knew he was off back in the day. They knew in school he was a strange bird, that he was potentially dangerous. Which also goes along with the article I wrote and we had here on AmericaOutLoud.com, was, can we spot violence before it erupts? And the answer is usually always yes. So Sarah, I believe that's her first name, Sarah Stern, rest in peace, young lady, and hope that your family finds some peace. And there is justice for you, at least in the sense that your killer has been convicted and will suffer the punishment for what he did. If there is no justice, there's no way for anyone to go on. So I hope her parents and her family and friends have some closure here. And I want to thank the police officers and detectives, the Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office, and the towns that worked on that case. So that's our opening for today here on Chasing Justice, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in a little bit, and we will cover the rest of the world. So thanks for joining us here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutLoud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. Listen, I would like to talk to you for a minute about my sponsors. We have, of course, True Security Design, which is my company. And my company sponsors this show so that I can be able to speak to all of you. So True Security Design, you can find us at www.truesecuritydesign.com. We provide safety and security training, assessments for facilities and for individuals. Anywhere in the United States of America, there's no place we won't go to try and help you stay safe and secure. So go take a look, www.truesecuritydesign.com, and take a look. Next is the magazine called The Blue Magazine. This is for my brother and sisters in law enforcement, and really for anybody who would like to pay attention to what's going on in the world of law enforcement. So you can find that at www.thebluemagazine.com, thebluemagazine.com. So go take a look. It's really a lot of fun to read that magazine. There's a lot of great articles in there about law enforcement and what goes on in the world of law enforcement. All right, so here in round two, ding, 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 of Chasing Justice. I thought it would be interesting because we hear so much about fake news and we see untold numbers of examples of fake news every single day. What would it be like if we actually had a newscast that told the truth? True news. What if they went out and actually examined a topic to see what the truth of the story was? So, you know, as we often do sometimes here, we like to move into the world of make-believe and think of what things could really be like. So now I bring you the news with Chasing Justice. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Chasing Justice News, and I am your anchor, Joe Pangaro. A lot going on in the world today, so we want to take a look and see if we can understand what's happening out there. We're going to tell you what's going on without telling you what to think about it. That's new. So let's look at free speech assaults. In recent weeks, we have seen several people who are wearing Make America Great Again hats assaulted all across the country. Now, we don't normally play these stories up because most of the media is anti-President Trump and they don't want you to know that people in the left wing of America are actually very violent. So the question is always turned around and it says that there are supporters of President Trump who are indeed violent, attacking innocent people on the left, going after people who have more liberal points of view. So we went out to look and see what we could actually find. And you know what? There are hate groups out there on the right. There really are. And you know what? Most Americans, including most very conservative people, do not support those right-wing hate groups. Matter of fact, we fully support law enforcement tracking them down, locking them up, and putting them in jail. The other side of the coin, though, which really never gets a lot of look, is what about free speech assaults on people on the right? Well, these are actually on the rise. Not that they get a lot of play in the media, but here at Chasing Justice News, we've taken a look. First, we had the young man who was assaulted by a group of people, and we all saw that young Catholic boy who was simply wearing a MAGA hat and was accosted by several groups of people. Well, that was portrayed as though he had caused a problem, and in reality, he did not cause any problem whatsoever. When we actually look at the incident, he was simply standing around with his friends, and he was accosted for wearing his hat. Most recently, we saw a young man on the Berkeley College campus who was simply standing in an open square where he was allowed to speak anything he wants. You know, free speech allows us to do that. And he was accosted by a left-wing young man who did not like the fact that this young man was speaking about the Constitution. He was speaking about free speech rights. He was speaking about whatever was on his mind. He was accosted and assaulted. Well, this was brought out to us, and it wasn't really twisted, but not much was made of it. Now, could you imagine if it went the other way? Based on our news coverage, we know that it would have gotten a lot of coverage that way. Let's take a look at socialism. Socialism is growing in popularity in America. I don't think there's any way to doubt that. We see poll after poll that show young people under 30 years old seem to think that socialism is not only acceptable, it is preferable to the way we have a system right now. Unfortunately, what we find is that in schools across America, no one is actually teaching about what socialism entails and how it affects individuals. We are often given examples such as Denmark and some other European countries that function perfectly. Everyone has perfect health care, everyone has perfect everything, and that's a socialist country, and therefore we should emulate that. What they fail to tell you is that those particular governments and people often confiscate, through taxation and other means, almost 60 to 70% of the income of every person to provide for everyone. Therefore, it is very limited. It may work for them, but it's not necessarily going to work in the United States. We then see Venezuela. where several years ago, the government moved to a socialist form of government where the government overtook the oil fields and converted private property to government property, which is the telltale signs of a socialist government. They take over the means of production and they run it as the government. They also removed weaponry from the citizens. It was one of the first things that they did. Now we look at history and we see that almost every dictatorship, when it takes over, one of the first things it does is remove weaponry from the citizens. We might ask ourselves why. Well, if we look at the picture, it's very clear. If your citizens have no means to fight back against you, and the only people with weapons are the government has an unfair advantage. And when, as human nature would normally dictate, you have someone who's a dictator, and they have complete power, their ideas will turn from taking care of things to taking care of themselves, and you have no way to fight back. Let's look at another topic, police violence. Well, we do see a lot about this, and we've gone out in Chasing Justice to determine, are there police shootings that are inappropriate? And you know what we find? There are. There are actually incidents where police officers overreact or act inappropriately with their weaponry. And like most police officers and most citizens, the people on the right would say, this is a terrible tragedy, and if something was done illegally, then everyone has to face the consequences of the law. Where on the left, they want to make it out as though the police are out there a rogue gang, simply attacking citizens at will, whenever they feel like just pulling a weapon and shooting someone, especially an innocent individual who's doing nothing more than standing on a corner, that this is what the police do. Well, here at Chasing Justice, we've actually taken a look at this, and what we see is that, unfortunately, our society has a lot of situations where there is violence involved, and the people of the United States have decided that the laws that we have asked our legislatures to create need to be enforced. And since the average citizen cannot go out and enforce the law, we have decided to have a police force. Almost every community has one. It is empowered by the state, and therefore there are laws that the officers must follow as they enforce the laws that we, the people, insist be enforced. When we see an incident, an unfortunate incident, where a police officer is put in a position to have to use force, sometimes deadly force, and it turns out that the person did not have a weapon, when we look closer at the case, we normally see that there was some activity on the part of the person who was shot or injured or otherwise the recipient of that use of force, that they brought it upon themselves by refusing to comply with the lawful orders of the police officer. When we look closer, we have checked all different kinds of police rules and regulations, and not one of them has any kind of rule or regulation in the police department or in the Constitution, for that matter, of any state that says police officers must be injured before they can respond. Police officers must get shot at before they can protect themselves. Police officers must be stabbed before they can respond. There is none of that anywhere. In fact, we understand that the laws say if the police tell you to stop and put your hands up, the citizenry is to stop and put their hands up. We also see that if you don't like what the police did, if you feel they were wrong, you have every right to make a protest. You don't have a right to make a protest out on the street. You do not have a right to disobey a police officer because you disagree with what the police officer is saying. You may not think you are guilty of what the police officer is investigating. That's all well and good. None of us want to be charged with a crime or held responsible for something we did not do. But we look and we find that there is a remedy for that. You go to court, you explain to the judge, you explain to the jury, you have an attorney represent you, and you present the facts. And we see many, many, many times that if the police have done something wrong, they will be held accountable. That actually happens. Now, for the use of force against citizenry, where it seems to be happening every moment to just innocent people, we find when we look closer, those people have engaged in some type of conduct that has caused the police to look at them and for the police to take action against them. Those people then had their own weapons, or they moved in a way they were told not to do, and they put the police in a bad position to determine whether or not they should be shot, stabbed, or injured before they took action. The response to this by police agencies across the country has not been simply to say, oh, well, that's too bad. Police agencies across the country are doing everything they can to provide additional training to their officers, different tactics, so that when they come across someone, they use every means possible so as not to cause injury. But remember again, we find there is nothing in our Constitution or in any state laws or constitution that says an officer must be injured. In fact, we the people have empowered the police. They are not a rogue agency. So the idea of police violence against the citizens is not really true if we look at it case by case. Next, we see the Me Too movement, which has great value in our country. No one should be sexually assaulted or harassed in any way, shape, or form. This is an improper thing to do to anyone. It makes people very uncomfortable and it can physically injure them and cause them problems for the rest of their life. Therefore, as a society, we agree that people should not do this. Unfortunately, some people on the left who are the biggest screamers about this type of thing, like the actions that took place against Judge Kavanaugh with little to no evidence whatsoever, seem to be a gigantic problem that turned out to be mostly untrue. Matter of fact, it was untrue to the point that we could not find any facts to back up the allegations. While at the same time, the lieutenant governor in Virginia has been accused of by several different people of sexual assault, and we do not see any hue and cry from that exact same group of people coming forward to say, hey, this man may have done something bad, we need to investigate it. So what we find here is that while we all agree that we have to be very, very strong in our investigations of any allegations of sexual assault, and anyone who engages in such a thing should be held responsible and held accountable with whatever the law deems appropriate. But at the same time, we must be fair and we must be honest about these things. If there is no evidence, we should not go after someone. If there is evidence, we should. So this is what we got going on here in the world of truth. Let's look at ICE next. You know, the people who protect the borders. Does ICE want to remove children from their parents? Does ICE want to isolate a sick child and let that child die in their custody? Well, this is how the story often comes across, but the men and women of ICE law enforcement and border protection are there to try and do what they can to protect the citizens of the United States. They do this by enforcing the immigration laws that we have on the books. Remember, once again, the people of the United States of America have created this organization through the legislature and created the laws and insist that the laws be enforced. So therefore, when ICE goes out to do their patrols, they are doing it on the behest of the people of the United States. If the people of the United States do not like this, they are to change the law, not simply have the laws not be obeyed. So when ICE goes out, they do not separate children who are sick and let them die in their custody, as has been reported. The child was already sick when they get here. They've often been brought on a long, arduous journey across open deserts for many, many days without proper food, shelter, and clothing, and by the time they get to ICE and they become in custody of ICE, they are normally very, very sick and injured. This is a tragedy that would happen to these young children. Now, we understand that people who want to come here are doing so because they want a better life. This is understandable to all of us. Every one of us would want a better life. We do have laws, though, that we have to have followed, because if not, we simply have chaos, and chaos is never good for anyone, the people who are coming here or the people who live here. So therefore, we find that ICE is actually a very, very good organization doing good things for America. Unfortunately, they're not always portrayed that way for political reasons. So I want to thank you for listening to Chasing Justice News, the truth. Okay, well, that's a parody, of course. Just trying to bring up how you would actually look at something. You know, if the news would actually get the story, and then go and investigate any one of these stories that I made a parody of, they would find that the MAGA hat people aren't actually the ones doing most of the assaulting. It's people on the left assaulting people who wear MAGA hats. That's the truth. But that doesn't meet the narrative. So therefore, we take an incident where someone who has a MAGA hat and something happens, and the story is immediately turned around to how they instigated it. You know, when we look at free speech, we see now that many people believe that free speech are words of hate, and they are assaulting words. See, so now you're physically assaulted by words, and therefore when you're assaulted, you have every right and responsibility to protect yourself, even if that means using violence against that person. So if someone says something you don't like, you can strike back at them using violence. This is inappropriate. This is not how it's supposed to be. Free speech means even if it's horrible, ugly speech, you have a right to do it. Doesn't mean I have to listen to it or agree with it, but I absolutely have no right to assault you physically because I don't like what you said or because it offended me or hurt my feelings. So when we see the free speech battle, if we saw the news actually go out and explain what free speech is, what it's supposed to mean, and then put that in context of the story, instead of twisting the story to meet their needs, we would get some truth. When we hear about socialism, I don't think socialism is taught appropriately in school. They don't really explain how socialist governments have morphed into communist governments and have caused misery and the death of millions and millions of people across the world. Young people have an inherent desire to make things fair and to be just. This is a very good thing that we should encourage. But encouraging it through socialism is only going to lead to despair and problems for these young people. Instead, they should be taught the differences, the true differences between a capitalist society, which has raised the lifestyle of everyone who's been involved forever, and the people of socialism and how that has dragged people down. But there is no true comparison. That would be a great investigation. Police violence. No one wants the police to accidentally hurt anyone. But it does happen. The police don't like it. We try very, very hard to make sure no one gets injured. But when people attack the police, when people don't listen, don't follow the law, unfortunately, sometimes those things happen. And they are tragic when they do. See, so this is how the news really should look at things. They should look at the story and tell the truth. You figure out what you think about it. So thanks for joining us here on Chasing Justice and the True News. We'll be back in a minute for segment three.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back to Chasing Justice here on Round 3. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, well, you know, in the last segment we did that parody of what I would consider would be like if we had a news station that actually did true news. And what I mean by true news is that no matter what the topic, they were to take it and look at it, look at the story, and go find out what really happened, and just tell us that. And let us hear exactly what happened. That's what news is supposed to do, because I couldn't be out in the street all day, so no reporter went out and found out what happened. And then they tell me, here's what went on today. And then I can make a decision about how I feel about it. Do I not like what happened, and should I protest? Do I like what happened, should I applaud? That's really the whole idea. So here in Chasing Justice, you know, our idea is to try and bring these kind of concepts out there. So recently, I wrote an article that was here on the page of AmericaOutLoud.com, and it was a letter of appreciation to my brother and sisters in law enforcement. And I got to tell you, I got a lot of really nice feedback for that, and I felt it wholeheartedly because I spent my career in law enforcement. And I really enjoyed every minute of it. You know, you are serving the public. It was a lot of fun. It was exciting. It was, I thought it was a great way to spend a career, to give back to my community and to do something. Because when I was younger, I would listen to the news and I would get very upset with what's going on. And my wife, said to me, my wife Kathleen said to me, well, why don't you go do something about it? And I said, well, what can I do about it? And I realized if I went into law enforcement, I could maybe do something about protecting innocents and going after bad guys and girls, and that's what I did. So now that I've been retired, I still teach law enforcement. I still use my skill sets to help law enforcement officers get better at what they do. So it keeps me plugged in to that world. But I am also very appreciative of the young men and women who have come forward to join the ranks of law enforcement so that they can pick up the mantle and protect society and go after bad guys and bad girls to keep us all safe. So I wanted to write an article for them. So how that really morphed, it was interesting because recently we saw some officers killed in the line of duty. And we're seeing this more and more and more. It seems it's a very, very sad state of affairs. But as every officer knows who takes the oath, puts on the shield and the gun, coming home every day is a goal. It's not a guarantee. And I started to realize that, we had a couple officers killed in January in the line of duty. And then the month of February rolled around and there were more officers killed in the line of duty. And I started to think about what was going to happen in March. That there are officers who, just like I was at the time, go to work every day, put on their uniforms, get in their cars, and go out to serve the public. And some of them are not going to live through the month. The reality is there will be more attacks on our police. We will lose more officers. There are officers probably listening to my voice right now who may end up providing the ultimate sacrifice at some point this month. It's a scary, scary thought. And it's one that I know every cop learns to live with and become accepted as part of, what you do. This is part of the job. It's dangerous. And making the ultimate sacrifice might be part of what you have to do. After a time, that reality does have a tendency to fade into the background and you simply go about your business. You do what you have to do. You deal with dangerous, scary situations as they come up and you do the best you can. That's why the training is so important. Constantly training, constantly looking for better ways to do things. Well, that was the purpose of the article, is that I wanted to say something to those men and women who will pay the ultimate price this year. I wanted them to know that we find their bravery and their dedication to their communities to be absolutely amazing. And I'm sad at the same time, knowing that this is the case, that there are officers who will pay the ultimate price this month, next month, and every month to keep all of us safe. So I wrote that article specifically to say thank you. And I'd like to ask all of you, out there in the Chasing Justice audience, I know most of you are very pro-law enforcement and pro-police and pro-military, and that's fantastic, and that's what we should be. These are the centurions that are protecting us. When you see a local cop, thank him or her for doing their duty. Thank you. Thank them for going out and putting on that uniform, riding that patrol car, and making sure that they keep us all safe. And this includes our detectives. This includes also a huge population of law enforcement officers in our jails and our prisons. These men and women work the hardest, most difficult precincts in the entire nation. Because when I'm out on the street, I can come across 19 good people and one bad person. The men and women who work in the prisons and the jails, everybody in there has done some bad things. That's why they're in there. Okay? So they are working the most difficult precincts in the entire country. And they are law enforcement officers, and they should be treated with respect. And as a society, we should make sure that we include them in our thoughts and our prayers at all times, because they get hurt and they get killed too on their job. And they're doing that so that we don't have to deal with those people who are dangerous to the rest of us. So that's really my purpose for that article. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk here for a minute about my brother and sister law enforcement officers. Because wherever I go, you see cops wherever you are. I told you, we're coming to you from Albany. Well, I was driving up the New York Thruway, and I see huge expanses of highway, miles and miles and miles from any kind of civilization, basically. You're up in the Catskill Mountains, and then you're heading towards the Adirondacks, and you have a single lone trooper male or female, in a troop car, pull somebody over. They have no idea who they're pulling over. They're out here by themselves. I'm sure there's another troop car in the area because, you know, they're working the highways, which is important. But lots of times you see one single lone trooper with a carload of people pulled over. And this is, happens across our country. It's everywhere. These men and women that are out there in the uniform, detectives, whatever it is that they're doing, a lot of them do it one-on-one or one against four people in a vehicle or wherever they come across them. So while it's really neat when you see an officer in uniform, they look really sharp, remember what they're doing out there. They're doing that because you don't have to. They're out there doing it. They're taking the chances. They have family home. So I want to spend some time in this segment just thinking about our law enforcement community who are out there. And I appreciate everything you do, that you guys and girls have picked up the mantle when I retired. And you seamlessly flowed into the great blue line that's out there. So this is where we're going. You know, I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks. We have the presidential race has already started. We see how many different people from the Democrat Party are jumping up to make a run at the White House. We see these topics of the investigation of the president falling apart when it comes to the Russian collusion. I think it's pretty clear at this point to everyone, at least anyone fair-mindedly, because I kept my mind open. I said, you know what, maybe they did something. Maybe they did something they shouldn't have done. I was open to hearing about it, but I think the evidence is crystal clear that there was no collusion. You know, nobody called anybody on the phone, hey, Putin, help me get elected, and you know, I'll do your bidding. That's ridiculous. I think it makes it very, very clear from a justice standpoint that the highest-ranking officers in our Department of Justice, maybe even the White House, I can't imagine that the White House had nothing to do with it, the Obama White House, and the FBI engaged in a conspiracy against Donald Trump. And I've said this 1,000 times. So to my friends on the left who are listening, and I know you're listening because you write to me, and I appreciate that you're out there. I try to be an open-minded kind of person. You know, I understand all people have different feelings, needs, problems, and I'm open to helping anybody. And I like to have conversations. I think we need to talk to each other so that we can understand each other and solve problems. But when we see this travesty of justice that is not being addressed, I've said this so many times that I almost say to myself, you know, there's an old rule. You have to say something 10 times before it'll get through. But I think most of the Chasing Justice audience gets this. This investigation, this conspiracy against a private citizen, who Trump was at the time, to go after him is probably the worst thing that has happened on a conspiracy level in our country. It signals a potential major change in the direction of the country, because there's always been corruption. You know, to kid ourselves and think that there wasn't corruption all the way back to the beginning in different areas is foolish. Power, any kind of power, allows there to be corruption and things. But when we look at what's going on with this investigation and how they've made up facts, how they made up the dossier, how they took it from the Clintons, and they used that as a way to get search warrants. Do you understand? That's directly abusing the Constitution, which is there to protect all of us. You know, your Fourth Amendment right is that you will be safe in your person, your papers, and in your places unless a warrant is issued. And that means a warrant is only issued when there's probable cause to believe you've done something bad, and you convince an uninterested third party, a judge, that this happens. When you use fake evidence, knowingly use fake evidence to get a search warrant so that you can get information that you can twist or turn or do whatever so that you can go after someone, this is not democracy. This is not liberty, and this is not freedom. And the fact that this is getting short shrift, that there's not protests in the street every day in Washington, millions of us screaming, demanding that be investigated, is not a good portent. I got to tell you, if Hillary Clinton had won that election instead of Donald Trump, if she had won that election, the whole idea was that all of that would have just disappeared. We never would have known about it. So my question then would be, do you think it would have gotten worse after that, or do you think it would have gotten better? Do you think if people can use the powers of government against citizens like that, that dare to try and stand up and represent other citizens, do you think they would have not have continued to do that? Can you fight the government in your own local municipality? Can you do anything to change what goes on there? I mean, we got this whole voting thing, right? This big deal voting thing. Do you feel your voice really matters in your local government? I mean, if they decide to tax soda bottles, can you have anything to do with saying, we don't want you to tax soda bottles, don't do it? Or do you think they're just going to do it anyway? Right? So this whole idea of justice and freedom and liberty is all wrapped up. And when you look at what happened here, it is absolutely devastating. And if Hillary had won, I can answer my own question. It would have gotten worse. Matter of fact, it hasn't ended. They are now, the Congress is now using political power to bludgeon the president by going after now his business deals for years before he was president. You know, they're demanding his tax returns. Now they're gonna make a law that he has to give up his tax returns. Do you think then they can't come and get your tax returns, or they can't come and get your private papers, or do something against you? This is what I'm trying to say. Because they're doing it to President Trump, and you may not like him, so you're all for it. You understand? They could turn that around on you at any time. This is why we protect one of us, we protect all of us. An attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. We have to control our government, or our government will control us. This is how it works. And I often say, if you read any of my articles, you will see that I say the default position of humanity is to live under tyranny. That is just how we are. This experiment, this American experiment, is only 247, 248 years old, whatever it is. It is a blip in time of human existence when we, the people, are supposed to run our government. When we see an investigation like what was unleashed against Donald Trump by political powers bent on destroying him and keeping him out because they didn't like what he was going to do, upset their apple cart of corruption, and you and I sit there and do nothing but watch it go by, we are asking for more of the same. And this is how any great society is going to fall apart. This is where I would say me and you are at fault. Do you call your congresspeople? Do you write letters to your congresspeople and say, hey, do the right thing? Or are all of us just so busy working and dealing with our lives that we listen to it on the news, we get frustrated that they're not doing nothing, we complain, we go on social media, how come they're not doing nothing? Why are they letting these people get away with it? And we ourselves don't do anything. You know, I had this microphone. I'm trying to make a clarion call to say, we need to hold these people accountable. Remember, we the people, all right? This is what it's all about. We control the government doesn't control us. It's natural for it to go the other way. But if we don't hold on to it, we're going to lose it. We are going to lose our republic. We're going to lose our freedom and our liberty, because that is the nature of humanity. This great experiment only works if all of us demand freedom, demand liberty, demand justice. And right now, we're letting it slip out of our hands. It's happening. So how do we go about that? I've decided I'm going to write letters and I'm going to call my congresspeople. All right. If anyone organized a great big freedom march to Washington, I would go. I would think it would be great if we organized a freedom march to Washington, demand our freedom, to demand that an investigation take place into what happened with the FBI and the DOJ and how this corruption is destroying our country. All right. I would do that. I don't know if you would do that. Email me. Let me know. J. Pangaro at AmericaOutLoud.com. Maybe we'll organize something together. But either way, free speech, assault on free speech, the fact that our young people don't know the difference between socialism and other kinds of government that are better for them. To think that they think socialism is not only acceptable, it is preferable, is really scary. And if it doesn't scare you, you're not paying attention, I don't think. Because the young people are, these people under 30 are going to take over the world. They're the ones who are going to be in control and in power very shortly. You know, this Andrea Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, Mark Levin calls her that. And that's why I borrow that from Mark Levin. This AOC, she's been made a lot of fun of, but she is the future of that Democrat Party, and these young people all think she's pretty slick. They like her. Bernie's running for president. Lots of people love Bernie. Bernie is a socialist. So if you don't see the writing on the wall, I think it's going to be too late for us, so we need to get together. So let's leave on a high note. America has always been the place of justice and freedom and liberty. And that has always borne out for us, I believe, because we are a special place in history and in time. And it's ours. So remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And let's figure out what we can do. We're doing our part here on Chasing Justice. And I want to thank you all very much for listening, for hitting me up on Twitter and email. And I love to hear from everybody. So thank you all very, very much. Remember, listen to the other shows here on AmericaOutLoud.com. This is an awesome place for free speech. See you next time on Chasing Justice.